Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's now 24 minutes past five. We speak about another sector, one that has drawn a great deal of attention, even international attention. That is the mining sector in South Africa, but in particular, the issue of illegal mining. And the question we're asking is, will South Africa really ever take decisive action to address this issue? Legal mining, it's a growing crisis in South Africa. It poses significant risks, not only to the economy, the environment, and community safety. David van Wyk is a mining analyst. He joins us now to speak about this. David, good evening to you, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us.
Okay, thank you very much for having us.
It would be good to hear your perspective of how you would outline it. What exactly is happening in South Africa with regards to this shadow industry?
Well, I think that we have to accept, and we've said this many times, that South Africa is in a transitional phase. The transitional phase that South Africa is in is that we are moving from large-scale industrial mining to more small, medium and smaller scale mining. We have to do it because in the gold mining industry, it's no longer possible to take out the gold on an industrial scale where you had maybe 20,000, 30,000 workers in one mining operation working there. We even see this in platinum taking place at the moment as well. If you consider that in 2012, Lonmin had 34,000 workers, and now if you go to those same mines, maybe there's less than 15,000 workers there. In the gold mining industry, it's even more severe. You know, I think there are about two or three companies left in the industry that are still mining on a large scale. And so we have to accept that minerals are not renewable, and therefore mining is not sustainable. And therefore we need to plan for an alternative economy. We need to plan for an alternative society. The gold that remains in the mines can still be mined on a small scale, possibly even on an artisanal scale. There are a couple of very large companies that are re-mining mine dumps, you know, the tailings dams, these yellow mountains that are all over the country. And, you know, mining itself, by its very nature, is destructive and environmentally impacting. You know, so if you are living in Soweto in Midlands, or you're living in Deep Kloof, or you are living in Tulani in Soweto, you get the mine dust in your houses every August when the mine blows across from the northwest to the southeast right through Soweto. And that mine dust contains arsenic, it contains lead, it contains all kinds of things. And, you know, because we have not planned for a transition, we've not actually planned how to rehabilitate and close mines properly. So mines simply get abandoned in this country, despite the fact that it's illegal to do so. You know, and so when we talk about the illegality in mining, it's not just the shadow industry that we are referring to, or the zamas that are all over the place along Main Reef Road, where mines have shut down and have been abandoned and so on, or operational mines where there are ghost workers underground and so on. The mining industry itself has gotten away with breaking the law in this country for a very, very long time, and it's time to actually clamp down on industrial scale problems in this particular industry. The issue of mine closure, the issue of mine rehabilitation, the responsibility to close a mine and rehabilitate a mine properly, the need for planning,
and David,
you know, planning an alternative economy.
Yeah. I want to jump in on that point in particular. Who is to blame? Because that has been pointed at as one of the major driving forces for this. We saw government launch Operation Vulam Umgodi to arrest this problem. But did it frame the problem correctly?
No, I don't think that it framed the problem correctly, because it focuses on the people who are underground, and those are the bottom of the chain. It's a pyramid. And the people at the bottom of the chain are super exploited people. They are people who were mine workers before, or they are family members of people who were mine workers before, and there are people who are, because of the transition in the economy and in mining itself, have been retrenched. And so you've got massive unemployment in mining towns in particular. And you have massive unemployment of people who were formerly working in mines who came from labor-sending areas. And in 150 years of mining, mining companies never actually did anything to develop any economies in the labor-sending areas. But we were behaving as if mining is sustainable, but it's not. We have to admit that mining is not sustainable and that we need to move beyond mining. And so if we did proper planning, then we could have had developed areas in Lesotho, developed areas in the Eastern Cape. The least developed province in South Africa is the Eastern Cape. And that's because the labor force of the Eastern Cape were migrant workers in the Northwest. They were migrant workers in the Free State. They were migrant workers in Gauteng in the mines. And so there was no labor force in the Eastern Cape around which you could structure an economy. And there was no planning to actually create an alternative economy in the Eastern Cape, for people to come back to once they are out of the mines. And so we are basically just discarding that massive labor force in all these labor-sending areas where people have become accustomed to coming to the mines because they've done so for generation after generation after generation. And you see, the thing is that people say, okay, we must just follow the market. The market will solve the problem. The market will not solve the problem. If we look at the economies in the world that are developing very fast at the moment and that are very successful, those are planned economies. It's like the economy of China. It is a planned economy. That's why if you look at the internet and you look at the photographs and the videos and YouTube and so on that comes out on China, it looks like a science fiction country. They've got technology and things there now which no one thought that they would have in 1948 when they became independent. You know, even 15, 20 years ago, China didn't manufacture motor cars. China didn't send people into space. China did not send missions to the moon and to Mars and so on. But they're doing it now. And the reason they are able to do that is because they plan their economy. We can't just sit here in South Africa and hope that things will turn out well, and we don't pay attention to the impact of changes in the economy. The fact that minerals are not renewable, it's as simple as that. And therefore, we have to plan for an economy beyond mining, and we haven't done so. And so we now have ArcelorMittal, for example, they are losing 3,500 workers out of a labor force of 7,000. When they bought Iscor, they had 56,000 workers. That's how many workers we've lost due to the collapse of the iron and steel industry in this country because we didn't look after it and we didn't plan for the use of the iron and the steel that we are producing within this country. You can't tell me that iron and steel is not important in an economy and therefore we should allow this particular industry to collapse.
I'm glad you go to ArcelorMittal because you also called for an audit. So allow you to finish on the point that you were making about ArcelorMittal.
You see, the thing is, the ArcelorMittal is now asking the government to reduce controls on the export of scrap metal. But ArcelorMittal is supposed to be a steel and metal producing company. What scrap metal do they want to export? And this then brings us back to Zamazamas and to illegal mining and so on. Because when a mine abandons its workers, those workers who can't go home because they can't afford to go home, stay behind in squatter camps all around the mines. Every mine has got a squatter camp right next door to it because of the living out allowance of mine workers. Those workers no longer have an income. They start stripping the very same mine. They strip all the metal on the surface and so on to make an income to put food on the table and so on. When they're finished with that, they go underground and they strip the mine underground as well. So where does all the scrap metal go to? It seems to me like it went to ArcelorMittal. Because ArcelorMittal wants to get a more lenient regime with regard to the export of scrap. And we see our cities being stripped as a whole as well because of the increasing poverty and inequality. People are stripping anything with iron in it. They're stripping the plumbing. They're stripping the safety guards on the highways. They're stripping the fences around the cemeteries. They're stripping just about anything that, the gas explosion that we had in the middle of Johannesburg that time. It could quite possibly, and no one is telling us really what happened there, it could quite possibly have been someone who was tampering with the metal there. There are gas pipelines all over Johannesburg, past Nasrec and so on, that people can tamper with because they are desperate and hungry. If you look at the railway lines that have been stripped, you know, the line that passes Rivoli from Johannesburg through to Soweto, that line has been completely stripped. The pylons, the cables, the rail lines and everything. You know, so we now introduced new trains, we say, but we allowed the existing trains to be completely plundered. Okay. you know, that means that...
Let me rein back the discussion then.
Yeah.
So, because we are talking about illegal mining, and I know all of these related issues, but I want to come back to the issue of auditing. So, where should the audits be concentrated? And I want to also talk about the issue that you raised earlier on about the skills capacity that we have in the mining sector in this country. We see a lot of those skills going to Central Africa, to other parts of the continent, because those skills are needed. And my bigger question is, are we adapting to the circumstances that we face? Are we trying to find new ways of mining to suit the conditions that we're in?
Well, I think that we need to find new ways of mining. And I think that, like I've said many times before, there should be an audit of existing mines, operational mines. What is the life of mine of each mine? When do we expect that mine to close down? And how do we plan for that mine to close down in an orderly and not in a disorderly fashion? And how do we repurpose and re-engineer that mine for a post-mining economy? Because all of that is capital. It is infrastructure that is there that can be very useful to communities and to economies. You know, the economy of Welkom and so on could have benefited greatly from all the infrastructure that Western Holdings mine, for example, put there. There's a whole lot of other mines also in that particular area that had very, very good infrastructure, housing, hospitals, schools, roads, railway lines, all kinds of things that could have been useful if we planned for an orderly transition in that particular town of Welkom. It's the town where I was born. It looks like that town is going to die before me. I'm the same age as that town, more or less. So that for me is a tragedy, because when we came into power in 1994 with a democratically elected government, we should have done an audit then already to say, what is here that is useful that we can use for a transition that would include everybody in the country, rather than allowing things just to be abandoned everywhere. And now we are sitting with a huge unemployment crisis, a huge inequality crisis, and we have not planned for it, and we don't actually know where to go with it. You know, so in mining, for me, the absence of the Department of Mineral Resources, for example, in this crisis in Stilfontein, it speaks volumes, because when the mine goes well, then they want nothing to do with the province of the Northwest. I worked for the premier in that province for 10 years. And then when things go bad, then the national department walks away from the responsibility and it pushes it onto safety and security in the Northwest province. In fact, pushing the problem of mining to the police is not a solution. We should actually be solving the problem by economic means, by planning means, by looking at what is the problem, how big is the problem, where is the problem concentrated. We know where the mining belts and so on in South Africa are. We know where the towns that benefit from mining are. What do we do to keep those towns alive once the mines go?
And
the mines
are going to go. Okay, so you say it's not just, you don't think that it is a law enforcement issue. There are regional problems to consider. The socio-political, economic reasons that drive people out of countries, instability. But how would we then tackle that problem while dealing with the insecurity issues? Because some of these illegal miners pose a safety issue to the communities that they end up in and the country surrounds.
If you organize people into business units, people who want to become involved in mining, on a small scale, if you organize them into business units and you then create, and I've said this many times, so that these guys who take these minerals out can only sell it at one point. They can't sell it to syndicates or anyone else. And then you actually pay them a percentage less than the global prices for the mineral that they are bringing to you. And that surplus that you keep behind, you keep that to pay engineers, to pay geologists, to pay safety officers and so on. And you put say one engineer for every five business units in Springs that is involved in mining, or in Klerksdorp that is involved in mining, or wherever, you know, so that you have a spread of skills all along the mining belt, where mining has now changed from large-scale industrial mining to small-scale mining to artisanal mining. You also evaluate the mines that are there and say which ones are safe and which ones are not safe. At what depth can they go down to, and what depths must they stay away from, because that would be unsafe. At the moment, the problem is that when you transition a mine and you allow the scrap metal and so on to be plundered first, when the guys now go down into the mine, it's very unsafe because all the infrastructure that was there underground is gone.
So what's happening at Stilfontein Mine, and our government is handling it? Is it the correct way?
We know now that 109 people have died. And that is a huge tragedy. They are the fathers and brothers and uncles of families. They've died of starvation, basically. The people who have come up have managed to do so by crawling for kilometers and days on end to alternative shafts where you can still come up safely. But those would have been the stronger ones, the ones that were not as emaciated and dehydrated as the ones that have died. I'm just puzzled. I don't know why, if you feel people are committing a crime, you don't actually create the means to extract them as quickly as possible so that you can actually bring them before the courts and sentence them. I suspect still that there is something that is being hidden here in the relationship between that particular shaft and the political networks on the surface and the state security networks on the surface.
In what way? What do you think could be going on? And I know it's for speculating,
this is speculative, but we have seen, for example, at George Harrison Park, police officers from the police station just across the road, the Langlachter police station, coming there without their badges on. And when we speak to the Zamazamas, they tell us they are coming here for their lunch money. And they never wear their badges, and when we refuse to give them, we get arrested. That is a problem. I've also some 4 or 5 years ago participated in the MEC for Safety and Security had a workshop on illegal mining in Kempton Park, and I participated there together with the police and so on, and I presented a paper. And after the paper, many of the policemen came to me and said, David, you are correct, you know. We actually should be fighting crime. And we have seen that in areas where we act against these guys and we push them out from underground, the crime levels on the surface increase. The hijackings, the house breakings, the violent crime and so on. Because people are desperate in this country. If you've got near 40% unemployment in a country, you should actually be having a revolution. In any other country, there would be a revolution. In South Africa, you actually have a problem because people have grown used to poverty. As part of the apartheid impact on people's psychology, that people accept that if you're a black South African, you deserve to be poor. You don't deserve any better than what you've got.
And that's a very profound note to end it on. Thank you so much for your time, your insights. David van Wyk, mining analyst, just speaking to us about what's going on in this country around illegal mining and if South Africa can really ever take decisive action to address it.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.